Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Now we hope you'll open your Bible and join us as Glenn Colley brings us a lesson from God's Word.
First Peter chapter 3. And I'll meet you there in just a couple of minutes. We'll start with the first verse. Great to see all of you here. Somebody asked me the other day, who lives in a different state, about the quantity of sermons I preach relative to marriage and family. And it's true that I preach a lot about it. It's a passion with me, and it's not just because I find it an interesting subject, mind you, I'm sure I do, but it's because I love this church and because we have seen as a family enough divorce. We've seen enough of that. My hope, my prayer obviously is that this church will never have another couple, never have another family to break up in divorce. And I know that the answer for our lives is the Word of God. It's for that reason that I do spend a good bit of time on this. And I hope that it's helpful, and I'll try to keep my balance and not just preach about this. This is an unusual subject, and frankly, a very unusual way to approach a subject. Preaching, for me, is either expository or topical. And expository means you take a passage and you go verse to verse and you discuss just what's in those verses. And topical means that you pick a subject and you go through the Bible and you read and discuss every verse that you have time for that's on that subject. Well, tonight is frankly very unusual for me. But I don't know a better way to do it. And so this is how I'm going to handle it. We're going to start with a passage of Scripture, and then we're going to use the balance of our time to illustrate that one passage or to make application to that one passage. This study came as a result of an assignment that was made to me relative to polishing the pulpit from which we just came this past week. And the assignment was to speak on the subject, what wives wish their husbands knew. And my first reaction was to turn to Mrs. Colley and say, I don't know anything about this. And she said, and she had this wonderful idea. She said, why don't you put it on Facebook? Now, for those of you who don't know about Facebook, it's a communication thing on the internet where you communicate with lots of people you know all over the world. And so I have enough friends on Facebook, hundreds of them. That sounds like I'm bragging. I don't mean that, but hundreds of these people who read that, and I just sent out to all the wives. Now, most, if not all, of these women are Christians. Well, I think that makes this study even more relevant. And I told them about the lesson I was going to present that I was preparing, and I asked them for their help. Now here's your chance, I said, and you can retain your anonymity. What I want to know is, what do you wish your husband knew? Give me some help with this. Well, does the word deluge mean anything to you? I mean, they started pouring in. And it was wonderful. It was really wonderful. And so what happened as I began to read them was that, and maybe this is the preacher part of me, but immediately categories started surfacing. And in fact, there were five or six obvious categories into which these things could be placed. And so I began to put them together in their appropriate categories. I did receive this one, and it was at the beginning, and I was rather delighted about this. Quote, I think my husband, James W. Ferris, is already so great, there's nothing I wish he knew that he doesn't already know. He is so great. He is just amazing. Signed, James W. Ferris. I thought you'd enjoy that like I did. Some of the things that they wrote were, of course, tongue-in-cheek. It's a sin to open a new container of milk before the old one's used up. The fact that you could not see the old one is no excuse and merely shows that you are even more thoughtless. Or, wives need to sit up when they drive, sit up high when they drive. Or, you are to know what they're thinking without them having to bother saying it. Of course. All right, now we go to the Word of God. Here's 1 Peter chapter 3. In the first 7 verses, Peter is talking about marriage. It is specifically written to this circumstance. You have a woman who is a Christian married to a man who is not. He's an unbeliever. And so you have counsel. Let me tell you something. Many times in my life and talking to women who are in this very circumstance, I have said to them, asking for counsel, I've said to them, you have a passage of Scripture that belongs to you. You've got a text that's written precisely to what you're doing and gives you advice about the kinds of things you ought to do to help to bring your husband to Christ. And it's 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Wives, likewise, this is New King James, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on a fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Now verse 7, and the focus of our lesson tonight. He shifts to the husbands and says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Dwell with your wives according to understanding. Now, the King James says, dwell with them according to knowledge. I think that's terribly interesting because there are some things which we instinctively know. And some kinds of affection or love are instinctive. So you go to Romans chapter 1, and he makes reference to homosexuality, for example. And he says the people who practice this sin are without natural affection. That is to say, then, there are some considerations of affection which are very, very natural. Nobody had to teach me how to love my children. That's a natural thing. Nobody had to say to me, when you are interested in marriage, you need to pursue a woman. Nobody said that to me. That was something instinctive. I just knew that. That's how I was created. But then this is different in 1 Peter 3, 7. He says, I want you to dwell with your wives according to knowledge. I submit to you that that's something which is acquired. Knowledge is acquired, not something which is instinctive. And for that reason, I think this lesson is relevant. All right, so the question is raised. What is it that we need to know? What kinds of things do we need to know in order to dwell with our wives according to understanding or according to knowledge? What kinds of things? I offer these five. Number one, I am an indispensable human resource. Appreciate me. My workload is heavy and I need you to sympathize. One lady wrote, I want him to know how hard housework is. It's never finished and nobody in the house notices. I need him to appreciate it and to help me. Another, women with kids, major hospitality and church commitments need help. Another, I wish my husband knew how to cook so I can have a break once in a while. Another, I wish my husband realized more how much I work around here at home. Just because I'm now a stay-at-home mom doesn't mean I'm not busy. I wish my husband knew that a wife that works full-time and spends a lot of time at home with the kids has to have days planned ahead. A 3-year-old isn't magically fed and bathed during a gospel meeting. It takes planning, so don't get upset when days are planned fully. For those husbands who would say, "Yes, but I tell her I love her." Here is another wife quote. She says, "Hearing I love you is wonderful, but becomes less and less meaningful when responsibilities are ignored, such as picking up your own dirty socks or setting your own dishes in the sink for washing." One woman said, "I've tried to explain this to my husband for years. I work 40 hours a week. Incidentally, this family needs some adjustments. It needs some help." And you'll see this as I read it. "I work 40 hours a week, go to the gym 4 times a week, because if I don't, I won't be able to walk in a few years. Come home and homeschool, cook supper, clean up, do some laundry. And when I say I'm tired, he gets upset and tells me not to stay up so late." Duh. That's her word. "Men need to do more in the house or be more understanding." This one says, "I wish my husband knew that although I love him with all of my heart and wouldn't change that for a second, that my job as a wife, mother, and school teacher is difficult. I strive every day to live my life the way a Christian should, but he works one job and comes home to be a husband and dad. Dinner is always on the table when he comes home. The kids have finished their homework. I have the house clean with the laundry going. It would be nice to be shown some appreciation. I love him and would do anything for him and my kids. So please know that I'm in no way complaining, but us women need help too. And if you, our husband, cannot help us, then please at least show us some appreciation. It's hard work, and you never hear me complain. Just show me from time to time that you appreciate that your sheets smell nice, or that your clothes are always pressed and ready to go, or that the kids are homework free by the time you come home so you can spend time with them, or anything." So number one is, "I'm an indispensable human resource. Please appreciate me." Category number two, "I am a princess. Never stop being my knight in shining armor." To say it another way, the ladies often suggested, "I need you to romance me." One said, "Don't assume we already know something. Tell me that you love me and find me attractive." Another said, compliment her when in the company of other pretty women." And so if you're watching an old movie and there's a beautiful actress on there, it's really good to say, "Yes, she is beautiful, but of course, honey, not as pretty as you." Compliment her to others. Now, of course, this is a great secret. I mean, this is something that we men have to figure out, and that is that we must never, ever criticize our wives. This goes both ways, of course. This goes both genders, but we must never criticize our wives in front of other people. Must never do that, even in a joking way. If a joke that makes her the one who is criticized, we must use great caution about that to make sure that that's very gently done and unfun and nothing that would hurt her. One wife said that we're super sensitive to their criticisms of us in public. "My husband and I have a rule that neither of us ever say anything negative about the other in public." Another, "The little things matter. And spontaneity melts our hearts. Wives like spontaneity, unplanned adventures, avoiding monotony." Another, "Wives do not understand the date, conquer, marry, move on to other challenges mentality. Wives want to be asked out on dates. The ask is as important as the date." Again, "I'm a princess. Never stop being my knight in shining armor." Number next. And this one is a big one. All of them are important, but here's one, husbands, that we so often hear about and so often are lacking in. "I am the weaker vessel. Please be my spiritual protector. Be the leader of our home. I want you to be the spiritual leader of our home. Show what it means in practical terms to be the spiritual leader in our home. Women need porn-free, adultery-free, deceit-free men." And perhaps the one thing that's the most important thing that's lacking in so many Christian men. Wives want, and I'm quoting, spiritual leaders. Not just people who lead in the church or lead the company or lead prayer at the table, but a leader who will say to his wife, let's go to a quiet place and pray about this. Or, it's about time for family Bible time. Tonight we're going to sing and we're going to talk about this subject, leadership. Or, son, what was your class about today? Tell me about that. Or, honey, what were your chores today? And did you get everyone done and did you do them well? Or, to the wife, honey, you know what? We need to read this book together. What's in here is something you and I need. Or, son, you will not disrespect your mother. And then, of course, you go, as one man said, to another room and you applaud him for his disrespect. Just use one hand. Wives want husbands who understand the roles as loving them as Christ loved the church. And, of course, that's Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 23. And all the love and kindness that that entails. Honor and treating them as the weaker vessel and submitting to one another. Then know about their wives. Know them. What they're interested in. What they like. What would make them smile. All the little things and the big things. Next. I'm the weaker vessel. Please be my spiritual protector. Quote, that they are not nagging or being critical all the time, so you don't need to get defensive just because they have a small complaint or suggestion. You can have a discussion about something without feeling like you're being argued with. The main thing I wish my husband knew is that I really, really, this is emphasis, want, and want is all in caps, I really, really want him to be in charge. I don't want to rule the roost, to always get my way, or to make the decisions. I know sometimes it appears that I do because I fight for it so hard. But deep down inside, it's very reassuring to know that I am not the final authority on everything. I want him to lead. I want him to make the final decisions with my input, of course, and to take the responsibility for them. This would come as a shock to any man I've ever known. They all would think I was in charge, but it's so difficult to be responsible for my family's spiritual and physical well-being. I really do want him to do the heavy lifting. And one lady added, or submitted this, I wish mine knew the Lord. And then parenthetically, but that's not really applicable to your lesson, I think. Well, I suppose it truly is. Because the point is, I'm the weaker vessel. Please be my spiritual protector. Be the leader of our home. Number next. I am a woman of talent. Tell me. Affirm me. Acknowledge my good qualities. Affirmation about biblical things is critical to fulfillment. In other words, she wants to hear that we observe her talents. If it's in reference to the finances of the home, if it's in reference to gift-giving skills, I declare my wife understands this Christmas thing a lot better than I do. Now, in my mind, the time to buy Christmas gifts is when you need them. Say Christmas Eve, PM. You know, Cindy starts buying those Christmas things in January, and she buys them all through the year. And what she's doing, of course, is saving our family a great deal of money by doing this and thinking ahead. Evangelism skills. Your wife talked to others about the gospel. Your wife talked to others about come to worship with us or expressing hospitality to help people learn the gospel and how to become Christians. And what about hospitality? You know, we men would be pretty miserable at leading the hospitality of our homes. We're just not cut out for it. Now, we're cut out to help, right? We're cut out to be helpers in hospitality. But I doubt that any of us would claim we're very good or as good as our wives at initiating it or leading it. What she's saying is that that she wants us to affirm her. She wants her husband to affirm her about these qualities. Another said, wives need the acknowledgement of great value in being stay-at-home moms. Another, although my husband already knows this, so it doesn't fall into the what I wish he knew, I will pass it along because it's something I value so much. Appreciation. I'm always so grateful for words and gestures of appreciation. And they don't have to be big gestures. If he knows I'm tired sometimes, he'll bring me a cup of coffee and he makes my breakfast. Another, I wish my husband knew me. Now, I found this one very interesting. And you will, too, in a moment. When you say, well, we've been married 2.5 months, and I wish he knew me. But anyway, I wish my husband knew me, like my colors, my age, my size. After all, we've been married for 48 years. And then she put in parentheses, and I wish he knew that I want a dog. I hope she doesn't mean instead of, never mind. Okay. I'm a woman of talent, tell me. One lady said, I want him to know how valued I feel when my husband takes the time and effort to include me in decision making, especially in things that I would defer to him anyway. When he asks my opinion, I feel honored and worthy that I have enough sense to contribute to whatever we're discussing, and most of all, that he thinks enough of me to want to hear what I have to say. I am a woman of talent. Tell me, affirm me, acknowledge my good qualities. Another said, I want them to know that we need lots of positive feedback. If we spend all day cleaning house but don't wash the dog, don't ask why we didn't wash the dog. Instead say, the house looks and smells great. Here's the final one. I am a mess, but don't fix me. Now, this one's tough. And I suppose to the male mind, all of these present some sort of a challenge. And what we're trying to do is to get back to 1 Peter chapter 3, 7 and to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. And that's the point of this whole lesson. Don't fix. Listen, the reason why this is such a challenge is, you know what? Men are fixers. I mean, that's what we do. I'm looking at a sea of people, and in this room, we have men who have quite a large variety of occupations. But I can tell you something about your job. You fix problems. You're a problem solver. And now that's true about a man who is a custodian. It's true about an engineer for NASA. And all in between, all the different kinds. You know what you do? You fix problems. You're handed the problems and you solve them and you do what you have to do to fix them. And then you come home and your wife begins to tell you about her day. And she tells about the difficulties of her day or the problems in her day. And the first thing that you observe is that they're not in any particular order. They're not logically ordered. I mean, so you'll have in that list mingled some terribly big things, and then you'll also have some trivial things. You know, so it will be, I've got to fix a casserole for tomorrow's church lunch together. Oh, and I found a lump in my breast. And oh, by the way, I need to check on the PTA meeting because et cetera. And I need to go by and pick up the shoes and the clean. And you say, wait a minute. Those are not logically oriented. But then the second thing is that our inclination as husbands is to go down the list and say, all right, look, here's the list. Here's what I want you to do to fix it. Number one, and number two, here's how you handle that. And number three, be sure that you do this. And number four, do this. And you know what? To me, that makes perfectly good sense because she's got a problem and I'm the fixer, right? That's how you do it. That's not how you do it. And I received quite a number of notes from ladies who express these kinds of sentiments. I'm going to read a few of them to you, but here's the notion, and I think it has some weight to it, as do all of these, by virtue of the fact that none of these just came from one woman. All of these came from many women, and they didn't know each other. They come from different parts of the country or perhaps world, and they don't know each other, at least in most cases. And so I'm saying there's a pattern here, and that validates this to being something that we ought to talk about in dwelling with our wives according to knowledge. Quote, that when wives are distressed and at wit's end, she doesn't want you to fix it, but she wants you to hug her. Again, women need men who fix things, not problems, and people, not emotions. This lady wrote, here's one for you. When I'm telling you about my, quote, bad day, I don't always need you to fix it or give me advice. Just put your arms around me and listen. Incidentally, you know that women are good at this. They are. When you see two women who are having lunch together, they're different from the men. The men go to lunch, and in this room, we have lots of guys who go to lunch, you know, and we have things that we talk about, and we like to do is solve problems. We like to solve problems. That's what we are about. And some, you know, the food, it frankly, is somewhat irrelevant to what we're doing. I mean, you got to eat. That's a functional thing, but what we're really about is solving problems. And when women get together, they're different. You know what I like to say? Every woman has a master's degree in counseling, and you'll have one woman who is expressing these concerns and the other woman who is listening to them, and the one that's doing the listening understands what her role is. And she will speak this way, and it's something that husbands need to learn. She'll listen for a while, and then she will say this. Got it? Or, I know. In other words, she understands that what this other woman wants is not somebody to blurt out the answers like we husbands typically do. What she wants is somebody to listen to her. She feels better by the telling of it and feels better by the fact that her husband is considerate enough just to listen to her. Again, back to the quote, I sometimes just need to talk it out and know I have someone standing by me. When you can do the laundry... Oh, I got what she says here. Someone standing beside me, period. And then in parentheses she put, then you can do the laundry, fix dinner, clean the litter box, go to the grocery store, and well, it was worth a shot. Okay. This one said, I read that book, Men Are From Mars, Women From Venus. Something in there that men need to know is that us women just want someone that will just listen to us instead of putting their fix-it hats on. That's all we want, is someone who will listen to us. Another said, sure, sometimes when something is wrong, it just may have, and then all in caps, nothing to do with the husband. But men seem to take it personally, like they're the blame or cause, when in truth it has nothing to do with them. My dear sweet hubby, now listen to this, because I think this is very insightful. My dear sweet hubby thinks my happiness is all his responsibility. Yeah, right? That's right. That's how we feel. I mean, I'm responsible for you, and if you're not happy, it must mean that somewhere I'm failing. Somewhere I'm not getting it right. Anyway, she says this, and if for some reason I'm not happy at any moment, it upsets him, which doesn't really help me at all. I guess that it's the fix-it gene at work. And this lady said, here's a big one. Many times I don't want him to tell me why my feelings are wrong. I just want to be empathized with and have my feelings validated. Like this, quote, you have every right to be upset, Rebecca. I'm a mess, but don't fix me. And so in the long ago, Peter wrote this by inspiration in 1 Peter chapter 3. And he says, now, if you're married to an unbeliever, here's how I want you to live. And then in verse 7, he takes kind of a shift as if to say, I need to balance this. And he says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Thank you very much for listening. I wonder if there's a couple here who needs to become a Christian. Both of you need to become Christians. Or perhaps a circumstance like is described in 1 Peter 3, where one of you is a Christian, one of you isn't. And let me tell you something. God has saved His very best for us. I mean, for Christians, His children, what you really ought to do is It's become a Christian family. May I urge you to do that and enjoy the benefits of being a Christian family and enjoying a Christian home. God has saved His very best for us. But you can't have that if you won't be a Christian. Is there somebody here who needs to obey the gospel? Perhaps a young person who wants to obey the gospel tonight so he or she could go to heaven, but also because he's anticipating the time, she's anticipating the time when marriage will come, and I want to be the best man I can, the best woman I can for my home. You can be a Christian. Repent of your sins and confess Jesus and be baptized. If you need the prayers of the Christians, now is a great time. Maybe there's someone here who has been a member of the church, but you've become unfaithful, and you need to be restored. You know it. And it would be so good to come before this family tonight and say, I've made a decision I want you to know about. I've repented. Now I'm going to do right again. And would you pray with me? We'd be delighted to do that. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing. We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.